We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pros for the 5 o'clock hour. We do, I want to let you know, we've got a bunch of good guests coming on tonight. Next one up, Stan Verrett from ESPN. Me and Deuce were talking earlier. I love to see a national broadcaster that is just unabashedly. Someone's going to tell me that I messed that up.
That is incorrect, sir. You can't use "un" with abashedly in that form.
Abashedly? In that setting. Abashedly.
So. Yeah, okay.
Listen, Stan Verrett is a Saints fan, and he does not care if you know it. He's from New Orleans, and he's going to be a New Orleans Saints fan, and we're going to have him on and talk a little bit about this game coming up this week. It'd be interesting for him because these guys in national media, you know, L.A. is a big area for national media people, so he runs in those circles, and I know ESPN's not out there, but I'm sure he knows plenty of them, so it'd be a big one for Stan.
Yeah, well, he does his show out of L.A. as well, though, the ESPN show out of L.A.
Oh, his is out of L.A.
Yeah, his is out of L.A.
So, yeah, he spends a lot of time talking to Rams fans, although there's not that many Rams fans out there. We've also got a couple of former Saints. We've got Reggie Bush coming up tonight. We've got Sir Jonathan Vilma coming up tonight, and then Rob Ninkovich is going to join us, talk a little bit about the New England Patriots and a team that we may possibly see in the next round. I'm sure someone will get mad that I'm talking about the next game possibly, but we're going to talk about it. You can't stop me. I run the phone board in this on this show, so I do whatever I want. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Chris in Biloxi, welcome to Fans and the Pros. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Doing great. What do you got?
All right. Who dat, baby? I'm wanting to know about, like, on their running game, the Rams I'm talking about. What's happening with Monte Teo? Is he capable of going in any packages? I mean, I know he's a run shutdown beast. Can you give me any comment on him?
Well, listen, Manti hasn't been active, but really the Carolina game in week 17 for the Saints, he's been inactive. And I think really the reality is that Manti is a two-down linebacker. You don't want Manti in coverage. You've got a group of linebackers for the Saints that have really been tremendous in coverage. Really the whole group, Anzalone, A.J. Klein, and DeMario Davis have been great. And so he's kind of found himself as the odd man out because he's not a special teams player. So I wouldn't expect. I think it'd be a huge surprise to see Manti Te'o even dressed for this game.
Okay. I didn't know what – I knew he was a great run stuffer, and I know it's hard to work him in on packages with the packages coming in and out, but
Chris, don't get us wrong. He may be up. That's not us saying that he won't play. He may be up. They may have a package that they want to use and run with him just because Sheldon Rankins isn't going to be available. So it'll just be something that we have to really see as well.
It's also totally possible, Chris. And again, we're not at practice at this point in practice every day. But with Sheldon Rankins being down, maybe the Saints say, hey, let's employ something a little bit different. Let's go with a 3-man front. Bring in a Manti Te'o at linebacker and give them a look that they're not prepared for with the running game. So it's all possible, but certainly Manti's kind of found himself inactive for most of the season. And after, unfortunately, I think playing pretty well early on this season.
I agree as well.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. And who dat, baby?
Who dat, Chris? All right, we appreciate that. So, Deuce, again, you talk about, or we were talking about Goff and kind of how his numbers had dropped off. And I mean, listen, first of all, you really look at it. When they run the ball well, they don't throw the ball so much.
Correct.
They're certainly more conservative when they can control the ball on the ground. But what's interesting is I think as a quarterback that goes through that long of a stretch where they're not asked to carry an offense, if you come into the Superdome and the Saints are able to do defensively what they've done all year long in shutting down people's running games, it wouldn't be a surprise to me to see the Saints come out and be able to shut down a run game. They've done it all year. on whether Goff can rise to that occasion. The last time he was on the road in a hostile environment, and I'll give him this, he was in a cold, hostile environment, but he looked like absolute garbage in Chicago. And that's really the one game in that stretch where they've kind of asked him, hey, you got to figure out how to make this work, and he was unable to do that.
Well, and you go back and you look, the guy that had the most rushing yards, the Saints didn't allow one runner to go over 100 yards this year. It was Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had 82 yards on him, and that's the most that they gave up. Now, as a group, a couple teams were able to go over 100 on him, but you know, this group has been really, really good, and so it's going to be interesting to see what little tweaks they have made as far as to make up for Sheldon Rankins not being available, and then to take that power run game away that the Rams have found and had success with.
I think if you shut down, if you can find a way to shut down the Rams' running game, and when I say shut down, you can't give up 273 yards, that's for sure. But if you keep them around 100, 90 to 100, they had 92, I think, in the first matchup. If you keep them in that area, which is where you've kept most everybody, I don't think that Jared Goff is going to is gonna win this game down the stretch.
If they keep that group under 100, CJ and Gurley, then I think the Saints are going to win, you know, maybe even by more than I think they're going to win, even if they go over 100.
Right.
So I think the Saints are going to win, period.
Right.
But, you know, if they keep them under 100.
It's not prediction time yet, Deuce.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I agree with you as well, though. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get back to the phones. Chuck B, you'll be the next one up. You can give us a call, 504-260-1870, or text us at 870-870. Lots more Fans and the Pros when we return here on WWL. This is a group with a whole catalog of good pregame songs, right?
This is some serious workout music.
It is. It's a good one. It's a whole bunch of it, too. It's like they specialized in music that makes you feel like their name, right? Rage.
You want to just go tear up some stuff.
You just want to go tear up some stuff. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Deuce and I here till 8 o'clock tonight. Our WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Who is more nervous about Sunday's game, the players or the fans? Said it earlier. I've been inundated by fans who are nervous about this game, just as I was last week in the Philadelphia game, and that's part of what makes being a fan fun. If I told you at the beginning of every season we were going to win, and despite your objections to this comment, it wouldn't be as much fun. So here's, we got to let them play.
Here's the other part of it. They can make a difference in this game, though.
They can make a big difference.
The fans can make a difference in this game. Sean Payton has commented on it. We're going to play what he said as far as the fans being a difference maker in this game because of how Sean McVay and Jared Goff do communicate before the snap and how they really just run the offense. He likes to give him a few checks at the line and not necessarily he, and that being Jared Goff, make those checks themselves.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Payton talked about it's important to make that noise early. You're going to see a lot of this, and the Rams did it. They do it every week, and they did it a lot in the first game against the Saints. Of they're going to finish a play, they're all going to rush up to the line of scrimmage. They have no intention on running a play, but they want to see a look and a defense so Sean McVay can continue to communicate with Jared Goff and give him insights and make checks because their mic doesn't turn off until 15 seconds on the play clock. So for Saints fans, we're trying to interrupt that communication that occurs between when they're lined up, and that's really when it needs to start. When they're lined up, it needs to be loud, loud, loud. So you get a little break after the play, right? And then as soon as that team is in a huddle or breaks a huddle, the dome has to turn off the music. As soon as they're up on the line of scrimmage, we have to be loud because the head coach is talking to the quarterback, and we want to interrupt that in that moment. And if we're able to do that, I think it would go a long way to help this team certainly come out fast early on, which was an issue last week. And I think that's something that Chuck B in Mid-City wants to talk about a little bit, was that start from last week. Chuck, how you doing? You liked that segue, didn't you?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, man. What's up, 26?
What's going on, Chuck B? How you doing?
I'm good. Deuce, you know, you were the very first jersey I ever got, man. I got two Deuce jerseys, one black and one white, and I got a Colston jersey.
That's strong right there, Chuck B.
Oh, yeah, that's strong. That's how I rock. But my thought was this. You know how we always – coach likes to defer the toss if we win and get the ball in the second half. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking I would actually like our offense to take the ball, let the Superdome be live, very quiet, and have one of those 11-minute drives that will begin to wear their defense down and run a whole bunch of stretch plays. And if we can go, you know, however many yards and cash in seven, and then unleash the fury on their offense and not let them hear a thing.
You know, Chuck B., one of the things that's interesting, because I know this has really changed a good bit since I started playing in New Orleans. It's really turned into an almost guarantee that you're going to defer to the second half. And basically what they've figured out or come to the conclusion of is you can steal a possession late in the first half. It's very hard for an offense to run a clock. Like, very rarely does the offense get to, you know, zeros on the clock and kick a field goal or run a final play. And so the Saints, with Drew Brees and the aggressiveness of Sean Payton in the downfield passing game, they feel really good that at the end of that first half, they can move the ball, even if they have 30 seconds on the clock, and get down and get this kind of last-minute field goal off. And I think they feel like they can make up for that by deferring it and knowing they're going to get the ball back.
Yeah. I thought about that too, but then I thought about in this game, I don't want to be in a situation where we're catching up. What if we don't stop them and they get the ball and they've got seven? Then if we score, we're only catching up. I would rather them chase us.
Well, what if we don't score?
If we don't score, at least we've eaten up some clock and they've got on, and hopefully our defense can do what we need to do. But, I mean, to me, it's really, really important that we are able to start fast and that we're able to score first, because this really may be a game of who's in front. You don't want to be playing, trying to play catch-up against a team. Both of our teams are very explosive, right? So that's why we want to start fast, because we want them trying to chase us. They don't want to have to chase us. Nobody wants to have to chase us.
I agree with you.
That's just my thought.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But, I mean, I think it's so important if you can steal that extra possession coming out at the half. I think, and, you know, because you always want to reset as far as to be able to set the tone for the second half. And I think that's why a lot of teams will always defer. Now, if you're on the road and you get the kick, then, you know, just depending on how you're built as a team, you don't mind being able to go offensively on the road and kind of taking the crowd out. So for us, I think putting the defense out there first would be the right move.
Chuck B., thank you so much for the call and the thoughts, man. My man. We listen, I think everybody always wants the ball first as a fan. You want to see him take the ball, and I get that. I know as a player it was always like, no, let us start with us. Let's go down and get a score. But it's almost like a turnover. Right, I mean, it's almost like,
when
hey,
if you
can grab that extra possession at the end of a half, it's one full extra possession where usually the ball's going back to the other team. Now, you know, it happens both directions, but if the other team, if the Rams were to get the ball first and finish with it last, then it kind of makes sense that now the Saints get the ball. Whereas if you defer it and you know that you're getting the ball the first half and you can steal an extra drive at the end, it's like getting a turnover. On the kickoff. So
I agree.
I don't know. It's tough. That's like emotions versus analytics, right? Like emotionally, you want to do that. I mean, the greatest thing to happen is you defer and you come out and you get a huge three and out and you get this huge hit and it's this big emotional outburst, and then you get the ball and you go down and score, right? That's the perfect start to the game for sure. And, you know, I don't know that they're going to change what they've done all year, because they've done it, you know, all year to this point. So we'll have to wait and see, but – we did get a text, and I want to just reiterate this. It says, Peyton is saying be loud from 35 seconds to 15 seconds on the play clock. That's not what I just said. Here's the thing. Sean is giving you, like, the first-grade version, right? He's just going to say 35 to 15. I'm telling you a more specific version of that in that.
So you saying Sean is wrong?
No, Sean's right, but what's important really is to be aware of what the situation is.
Right.
So I know Saints are the fans are going to need a break somewhere in there, right? Somewhere you're going to need a little bit of a break. Well, certainly that. But basically it's they're in the huddle, we're going to be loud. When they're up on the ball, you got to act like the ball's about to get snapped,
right?
And it might not. It might go on for 15, 20 seconds. That's that period that Sean wants everyone to get loud.
And that's that 30-second period.
Yeah.
I mean, and so when they're up there trying to communicate until that clock cuts off at 15 seconds.
We could just play it safe and say that you can't stop screaming the entire time they have the ball. It has to go nonstop. But I think we're going to run into some issues with that. We're going to get back to the phone lines when we get back. Also, Stan Verrett coming on after this CBS News update. Mark was back during the ones and twos. I think he hit the wrong deal. We got back into some traffic. You're doing good in there tonight.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
The wheels of steel are in effect.
Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Deuce and I joined now by one of my all-time favorite Twitter follows, I have to tell you. Stan Verrett, ESPN anchor, and rabid, and I've already used this word once, so I'll say it again, unabashedly loyal Saints fan. Stan, I got to tell you, first of all, thank you for being with us. Early on, when
always
I
a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. When early on, when I got the job that I've got here as the voice of the Saints, I was contacted or kind of reached out to by a couple of local media members that were asking me, you know, are you gonna be a real journalist and you know take you know kind of like are you gonna be honest or are you gonna you know be a homer kind of. And I was like, no, I'm a Saints fan, so I'm gonna be a homer, and that's what it is. And I like the Stan has proven to me that it can be done.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. We're all from somewhere,
right?
And I'm from New Orleans. I was from New Orleans before I got to ESPN. I'm going to be from New Orleans after I'm gone from ESPN. So, you know, I mean, not that we've ever really had a conversation about it, but, you know, we have some leeway in terms of, you know, expressing who we are as sports fans. I mean, being a Saints fan is how I chose my career. You know, once right. I realized that I didn't have the kind of talent that it was going to take to play football at a high level. And I said, okay, well, how can I be around it? Because it was what I've always loved. And so, you know, my gifts were writing and speaking. And so that's the way that I've chosen to express it. But, you know, I mean, it's a part of who I am. I mean, I grew up going to the Superdome every Sunday since I was 12 years old. And so it's just a part of who I am. And if I'm going to be who I am on the air, then that's part of it.
Stan, don't change, man. I love it. It's awesome. You know, and listen, so as a Saints fan, and I think this is always the greatest thing about this run right now to me, and I just I don't know how the entire city is going to handle it, but the chance and the possibility of the New Orleans Saints traveling to Atlanta to the brand-new, shiny Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, taking over the Falcons practice facility for this game. I mean, is it just like, could it possibly get any better than that to you?
That would be outside of the Saints winning the Super Bowl at the Superdome. That is the absolute best place it could happen. I saw a Falcons fan on Twitter, and I mean, they are so nervous. He said, if this actually happens, we got to tear it down, burn it down, and just start all over again with a new stadium because we can never go back in there.
Stan, how do you see this game playing out as far as the matchups are concerned?
You know, I got to tell you, my friends always tease me because I'm always worried before a Saints game. I was worried before the Philly game. I was worried before the second Atlanta game. You know, I'm always worried, and I'm worried again. So maybe that's a good sign. But you know, that's a really talented team the Rams have. And you know, I would say if you look at it position by position, I would say the Rams probably have more talent than the Saints. Now that doesn't mean they're a better team. It means that they have more talent. So the challenge I think for the coaching staff for the Saints is to make sure that they put the guys in the best possible positions to win. I mean, job number one, I think, when they're on defense is trying to limit the run game as much as possible. I mean, Ty Gurley can beat you. I don't know if Jared Goff can beat you. The combination of Gurley and C.J. Anderson together can beat you. I don't know if Jared Goff can beat you. Jared Goff has a whole lot more variables that he has to deal with than those two running backs. So I think they gotta get in, they gotta stop the run, commit to stopping the run first, and then, you know, the secondary's gotta step up, and they've been doing that. I mean, that last three quarters of football they played against the Eagles, that game was hanging in the balance before Marshawn Lattimore makes that interception. And when he makes that pick, it turned everything around. So I hope that they can pick up where they left off and play with the confidence and swagger that they've developed over the last part of the season, particularly since Eli Apple joined the team.
What
What's the vibe been like in L.A. with this Rams team and, you know, with them having one game away from possibly going to the Super Bowl? Or is everybody still talking about LeBron and the Lakers out there?
This is a Lakers and Dodgers town. I mean, anybody from L.A. will tell you that. I mean, there are a lot of old school Rams fans who still remember the Rams from their previous incarnation here. And, you know, they're excited about it. And, you know, look, people love a winner. And so they have that going for them. But it's not like I saw on Twitter today, the folks out, I believe it was at One Shell Square or somewhere in the CBD, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people there. I mean, there's nothing like that happening here. I mean, it's, you know, there are fans, but there's you know, L.A. is such a big city. It's so spread out, and, you know, and the Rams just got back. So they have a fan base, but it's nothing like it is there in New Orleans. I mean, it's nothing like that.
Stan, last question for you, man. It kind of came out today. I think one of the ticket sites kind of released it. That they're expecting 87% of the stadium this week to be Saints fans. And obviously, as you talk about, there are some diehard Rams fans. But last week they estimated that at 75% against the Philadelphia Eagles, with a quarter of that stadium coming in being Philadelphia fans. And it's something I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, but as loud as it was last week, and it was loud. I mean, there was a point where I think that the press box was shaking.
Yeah.
And I mean, I felt that, and I didn't say anything, but I was like, it's shaking for some reason. To add an additional 9,000 Saints fans to the crowd, Rams players have said there was no effect last time. Do you think the Saints fans have an effect this time?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, they got Sean Payton coaching them up now too.
yes, we have been.
When to be loud. You know, I was doing a story on this last night. I had a lead into this piece that we did on golf, and I was talking about the crowd noise, and I had to look it up. But apparently, last week it got up to 128 decibels, and I went online. Look, okay, well, let me get some comparison. They said 125 decibels is when it becomes painful, when right. noise becomes painful. So it was some of those third downs in the fourth quarter when the Eagles had third downs. I mean, it was deafening. I was there. It was deafening. In there, and I don't expect it to be anything. If anything, it's going to be louder. I mean, you know, I remember I got a list of the loudest that I've ever heard the Superdome, and the Gleason block punt is up there.
Yep.
That move when Deuce made that move on Jeremiah Trotter in 2006 mm-hmm. into the NFC Championship game, it got loud then too. Jeremiah Trotter's still looking for you, Deuce. He's still trying to find out where you went.
That's a negative.
And then when Hartley made the kick, of course, that was loud, and it was one of those third downs, or maybe it was a fourth down against the Eagles. I was like, man, this is on the list.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be an incredible environment, not only in the Superdome but in the entire city of New Orleans this week. So we're looking forward to it. This is Stan Verrett. You can follow him at Stan Verrett, ESPN anchor. Stan, thank you so much for the time coming on with us, man.
I can't wait. My plane touches down 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I can't wait.
Love it, man.
Appreciate it, Stan.
All right, buddy. More All fans right. in the pros when we return here on WWL. What era did this come out of?
Man, that sounds like some rock music like you.
Rock music? That's
I mean,
rock
like
to you?
Not like rock, but, you know, like
this is
party music. Like,
this is early 1988 by the Bangles.
All right,
it's a cover of a Simon and Garfunkel song.
I mean, not like no punk rock music, but I mean, some you hear on the
it's classic 80s right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a cover Bangles, of a 60s song by Simon and Garfunkel. Right. And
like they be working out on the beach, and
I hope that's what they're listening to pregame. I hope this is the one they pick.
I hope
we'll send this one to the Rams. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. We're gonna run right back out to the phone lines. Harold and Marrero, you're on Fans and the Pros. What do you got, Harold?
Hey, Zach and Deuce, how you doing tonight?
Doing great,
doing
man.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Listen, I've been listening to you guys. I listen to you all the time, but I listened tonight about fan noise, and fan got to be noisy, noisy, noisy. Last time we played Philadelphia, I think it was 120, 125 decibels. I got an easy solution for everybody. You need to put this out so everybody can hear it. Bring a toilet paper roll or a paper towel roll with you in your back pocket. You can increase the decibels by 10 times, at least 10 decibels, if you just shoot through that paper towel or that toilet paper roll. It makes it really loud.
Can you get through security with this?
Oh, put it in your back pocket. Just flatten it in your back pocket.
You know, Harold, and that's a good idea. I got a text on here that said everybody just needs to go and get a cup. Drink whatever it is that you get. Get one of like the paper cups. You cut the bottom of it out, or you get the bottom of the cup out. And now you have a little bullhorn for yourself. Yeah.
There you go. You got that too. Either one, but make sure that everybody's got toilet paper. That's for sure.
I love it. And if you can't get that in, then maybe a program rolled up. There's all kinds of things we can do. That's smart, Harold. Creative. I like that. Yeah, that's right.
Well, good. I listen to you guys all the time. I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks.
Thanks, Harold.
Who that?
There you go.
Okay, buddy.
Innovative, bye-bye. Innovative noise. I like that. That's Harold dropping some knowledge on everybody. That's a good idea. Listen,
I just want you to be able to get through.
Well, listen, you can get in with a sign. It's just paper, right? You can get in with a sign.
Yeah, I mean, but you got a whole roll of tissue, and you gonna bring that tissue in?
I've never tried to get tissue in.
Me neither, but I'm just saying.
I don't think they're not going to let you bring the whole roll in, but if it's just the bottom, I mean, what do you want me to do with it, right? I mean, I've never walked in the front door of the Superdome for a Saints game, so I don't know.
I have.
Do they pat you down?
Sometimes you're going to get the wand. They're going to wand you in.
I ain't going to set off the wand.
And sometimes they do, you know, you get a little pat down. If you look suspicious, you're going to get patted down.
I don't think he was advocating bringing an entire full roll of toilet paper.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to help secure it out.
I think it was when you finish the roll.
I don't want to slow these people down. They got to get into the game. I just wanted to help security out. I've already been fussed at for telling Zach that is the correct way for using unabashedly, and so
you still mess that up.
Unabashedly.
It's still bad, but it's we'll work on it on the next break.
You heard every enunciation and every letter come out correctly. I got a little cold, man. I
know.
Chest,
all right, you know? We're gonna let Deuce get a little cup of coffee. We'll be right back with more Fans and the Pros on WWO. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros, Little Maroon 5.
Super Bowl halftime artist.
Ah, that's right.
Maroon 5.
That's right. That's right.
From Los Angeles.
Speaking of halftimes, this weekend, huh? Ying Yang Twins and Choppa will be the halftime show. Jimmy Buffett singing the national anthem. Now, I'll tell you this. Jimmy Buffett's got a lot to live up to after the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. That was awesome.
Last week's
national anthem.
I think he's up to the task.
Does he come out? Does he wear like Jimmy?
Jimmy Buffett, baby.
He can walk on the field with flip flops on.
Flip flops and a Saints and some type of Hawaiian Saints shirt.
It'll be good. Last week's was awesome though. Preservation Jazz Hall was awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.